Cumberland County. Reality Realty is on the air. We are Northumberland 89.7 FM's real estate talk show. We will talk about all things real estate. We have a direct focus on Northumberland County and all the communities within it. I am Dave Smith, certified home inspector, and that guy is Dale Bryant, real estate broker. My daughter says to me, stop acting like people can see. When you say that guy and you point at him, it doesn't help on the radio.
Well, first of all, good morning, Dave.
Oh, you're welcome.
And
yes, good morning to you, Dale.
I mean, I think everybody understands that I'm here, I hope.
Well, they know that there needs to be a supporting cast, and you suit that role very, very well. But we do have other people here. Dale loves that. We have a guest here, and we shouldn't be inflicting this on him. Our guest today represents a well-respected roofing contractor here in Northumberland County, and his name is Mr. Chris Garrett. He's a residential estimator with Moffitt Brothers Roofing on, am I going to pronounce this right, Loveshin Road?
Yes, sir.
Sure. Loveshin Road in Coburg. And Chris is going to help us unravel some mysteries of different roof systems. He's going to explain some of the advancements and changes to roofing in the modern home. And he's even going to pass along some tips that you can use, Dale, you can use to protect your most important investment. What else have we got, Mr. Bryant?
Yes, Dave, and it might be a surprise to everyone. We have... Dave, are we calling it home inspection tip of the week?
Read the script, Dale. It's how to survive your home. I changed this like a month and a half ago.
Okay.
It's how to survive your home inspection.
So how to survive your home inspection. We're also going to do snapshot of today's residential real estate market here in Northumberland County. And we're going to do our points to ponder. Did you want to correct yourself there, Dave?
No, I want to apologize. I want to show you I'm the bigger man. It does say home inspection tip of the week.
Thank you.
I didn't think you read the script, but I apologize. I stand corrected. Let's just get rolling on this thing, will you? Can I do a shout-out? We've never done a shout-out.
Can I stop you from doing a shout-out?
Probably not.
No.
We want to do a shout-out to Pritchard's Climate Care. I met Wendy Pratt the other day, who is the office manager, and she told me that they listen to our show every week. Now, I don't know if that's
Thank you, Wendy.
Sort of punishment that they've been inflicted upon them, but I did want to throw that out to them and thank them for listening. So, part three of how to survive your home inspection. And every week, I'll pull from my list of the most important items that are found during my inspections. Many of them are minor or even trivial, but in my experience, as they start adding up during an inspection, a buyer can start feeling overwhelmed and maybe even concerned about buying your house. Therefore, the more items you can reduce from the list on the inspection, the better. The first two were to inspect the home yourself. The second was to provide access. And part three is have the utilities turned on. And this is one that I've experienced even since I wrote this. I've experienced this, Dale. This usually only applies to homes that are vacant, but double check all utilities the day before the inspection to make sure. And you're a real estate agent, so I'm throwing this directly at you.
All right, I'm ready for it.
As this can disrupt the entire inspection. If you don't have the water turned on, if you don't have the hot water turned on, if you don't have the power turned on to various areas or maybe a shed outside, this sort of thing, don't have the air conditioner on, etc. So it can disrupt the entire inspection. And a buyer may ask you, the seller, to pay for the inspector to come back to re-inspect depending on what they couldn't test. I mean, that's quite possible. In other words, the inspection itself is not complete.
It's going to be a short report.
It's going to be a short report. If it's a cottage or a vacation property and you have a habit of turning off the pump, the hot water tank, or even the power, please leave it on or instruct your selling agent to have it on prior to the inspection. And most home inspectors will not turn on a utility or an appliance that's turned off, as we don't know why it's turned off. The hot water tank could be leaking. The pump itself may be seized up. There's lots of reasons why. And we don't know what will happen if we turn on that appliance. So we're not even able to turn that appliance on or that utility on. The worst case scenario is a water system that's turned off. And this, for me, is a real challenge because the hot water tank may or may not have been drained. The hot and cold water cannot be tested. Faucets, toilets cannot be tested for function and leakage, and for that matter, the entire plumbing system. Appliances like washers and dishwashers cannot be tested for function, drainage, and supply. And no water supply is half the inspection, folks. So if you don't have that these appliances turned on, it may be a key point for the buyer coming in. They may, you know, you may be turning the tide the other way. So air conditioning units, if there's an exterior termination, and quite often that's the box mounted right on the outside wall, or the interior breakers in the panel in season. Gas fireplaces, pilot lights, this is a biggie. If you don't have that gas fireplace turned on or the pilot light turned on, I've seen us spending 40 minutes trying to get a fireplace turned on. You may assume that the home inspector knows how to do that, but every manufacturer has a different set of instructions and a different set of cautions. And in some cases, they will tell you a fireplace, you have to turn it on and then wait 15 minutes to make sure there's no gas in it. So it interrupts the flow. And furnace pilot lights, year-round, unlike the AC unit, which may only be once in the summertime. Leave your appliances plugged in. Ceiling fans that are wall switched, leave them on. And any vital remotes for things like ceiling fans or fireplaces, leave them out in the open with instructions if you think that may help with the process. Remember, these items that cannot be tested will be written up as not functional and not inspected. A reminder here, folks, we're trying to eliminate the amount of issues, big or small, that appear on a home inspection report. The more items you can reduce, the better. Have utilities turned on. Step 3 in how to survive your home inspection. Do you like the drama? I'm good with the drama at the end.
Always drama, Dave. So let's take a look at a snapshot of today's residential real estate market here in Northumberland County. Listings, Dave, that have sold over the past month. My goodness, we were about 3 or 4 weeks in just recently, and the numbers were going down, down, down. And now over the last 2 weeks, the numbers have been very high. We're at 136 listings over the past 2 weeks, and listings for sale right now. There are 424 listings that are for sale on the Northumberland Real Estate Board.
Average price, Dave, of listings
that have sold over the past 12 months, they've been listed for, on average, $305,000, and they're receiving, on average, $296,000. So people have been receiving approximately 96.7% of their asking price in a market time of 75 days. Our absorption rate, it's still high. It's at 32%, so it's definitely a seller's market in Northumberland County still. And that are the statistics for home sales and what's available in Northumberland County. And these statistics and the information that we use to formulate the absorption rate come to us from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors here in Coburg. If we take a look at the mortgage rates, if you've been thinking about holding off on a mortgage for the past while, the rates have just crawled up a little bit this week. Lenders are starting to raise their rates, but not by much, just 5 basis points. So the best 5-year fixed is now at 2.54%, and the best 5-year variable has crept up as well by 5 basis points, and it is 2.05%. And these mortgage rates come to us from mortgage broker Carol Ann Bryant here on Elgin Street in Coburg, serving Northumberland County and beyond.
All right, Reality Realty's points to ponder. And if you recall, if you've been listening.
Always listening, Dave. You looked at me when you said if you've been listening.
And that is without merit that I would do that. But I picked up this great article a while back on condos from UrbanEar.com. Thanks to UrbanEar.com for this. 5 points to ponder before buying a condominium. We covered the first 3 a couple of weeks ago. Who's your neighbor was number 1. Number 2, the value of the unique. And number 3, monthly fees. So the last 2 are the condominium rules and regulations and the reserve fund. So these are things you need to ponder before you purchase a condominium. If you're keeping track, Dale, and you are keeping track.
I am keeping track.
Number four of five is condominium rules and regulations. And there was some real eye-openers for me when I first got into this business that I didn't really pay much attention to. I've never been a condo owner. But read the rules and regulations to determine how heavy-handed or loose those rules are. Do the rules fit your lifestyle? How much control do you have over your outdoor space? Can you barbecue on your patio? Can you operate a home-based business? That's a good one. And what about pets? If you already have a pet or you want to have a pet, have you checked out what the opportunities are there? Do your window coverings have to be a specific color or type? Never would have thought of that. If you want to use the party room or the common space, do you have to wrap up by a certain time, like 10 p.m., which would be late for you, Dale? I think we could probably put an asterisk on that. I don't think there's a chance that Dale's still going to be partying hardy at 10 p.m. But
not a chance.
Even though the party's just getting started, these concerns may not apply to you, but if they do and you don't anticipate restrictions, you may get stuck with rules you find constrictive, which is not something you usually find in a detached home. You should also look at the condominium board meeting minutes and or Canvas building residents to get an understanding if there's any common complaints, which may suggest a problem that does not immediately meet the eye. And the last on our list of five, the reserve fund. Condo associations have money on reserve to attend to repairs, like the biggies. The reserve fund study covers collectively owned building components like external walls, roofs, windows, heating, cooling, and systems, common corridors, underground parking, elevator, storm and sanitary systems, water main, or all collectively owned common areas. And the objective of a reserve fund study is to gauge the condition of these components and prepare a schedule in advance for their maintenance, repair, or replacement. So when you review the condominium documents, ensure that the reserve fund study has been executed in accordance with the required timeline and whether it's recent or older. Do the numbers and dollar amounts and timeline all connect logically? If there's not enough on reserve, you could be looking at greater expenses should the need for these repairs arise during your tenure. 5 points to ponder before buying a condominium. Part two, Reality Realty's points to ponder.
Great, great points, Dave, that over this two-part series, because a condo is
a different mindset.
Some things that you really need to consider, not to scare people away from condo life, because, I mean, I think it's great. No lawns to cut, Dave. No snow to shovel.
There's a lot of benefits, but power. What do I always say? Knowledge is power. That's what I always say. I couldn't even remember what I always said, but I've said it again, so there you go.
All right. Well, you're listening to Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Join Dave and me right after this short break, and we'll be welcoming Chris Garrett from Moffitt Brothers Roofing. We're going to tap into Chris's talents and experience with some frequently asked questions on roofing, so please stay with us. You won't want to miss it.
Steel Dealer Days have landed. The perfect time to shop for the number one selling brand of handheld power equipment in Canada. With blowers starting at $179.95, grass trimmers $139.95, and chainsaws $199.95. Not at the Home Depot, not at Canadian Tire. Visit your local Steel Dealer for expert advice, on-site service, and Canada's number one selling brand of handheld power equipment.
Steel Dealer Days.
Visit Gilmer's Home Hardware Building Center at 177 Toronto Road, Port Hope, for expert still service.
The story you are about to hear is true. Ed White, you saved this guy $20,000?
I fixed his refrigerator.
And?
So his wife doesn't need a new one. She doesn't get a new fridge. She doesn't need a whole new kitchen to go with it. I saved him $20,000.
Save big bucks. Call Ed White Appliance Service in Port Hope, 885-7109.
Yes, it is worth fixing.
Welcome back to Reality Realty, Northumberland County's Real Estate Talk. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith broadcasting to you live in the studios of Northumberland.
Exciting the way you put it.
Yeah, live. in the north, wherever we are, in the studios of Northumberland 89.7 FM.
A warm Reality Realty, and he did stick around after the break, which is kind of amazing considering the Gong Show that has been the first portion of the show.
Dave, but, I thought it was our best show yet.
A warm Reality Realty welcome to our guest today, Chris Garrett with Moffitt Brothers Roofing, serving Northumberland County for 30 years. Welcome, Chris. It's great to have you here with us today.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
He says. That's what they all say.
So far.
So far.
Well, yeah, welcome, Chris. So, Chris, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Moffitt Brothers Roofing?
Yes, sir. The Moffitt crew is really a family-run, family atmosphere, a lot of sharing, a lot of caring, things you usually don't hear about roofing systems. And it's a real good show there.
Oh, excellent. Maybe a few laughs here and again?
Oh, no, never.
Never laughs?
Never, no.
And Chris, what is your function there at Moffitt Roofing?
I work in the residential side of things, estimating, sales, going out, meeting people, and bringing that information back to the office.
So you get a pretty important role. I mean, in many cases, you may be first contact for Moffitt Brothers for a lot of folks.
A lot, yes, showing up absolutely. On site.
And so you've got to pave the way for the rest of the company. So that has its own challenges, but also its own skills.
Yeah, it's a neat spot to be in, coming from the installation side of things and seeing the other aspect, like behind the doors, of what happens before the crew gets there.
And you have that experience. You've been out there doing what?
Yes, unfortunately, it is a treat to go out and be at the other side of things. So
yeah,
that's for sure.
Sure, it's great to learn and expand yourself a little bit. So let's get started with the most basic question of all. I often say to clients that in my experience, most folks are reactive rather than proactive when it comes to roofing repairs and or re-roofing their home in general. How can a homeowner recognize when a roof has problems?
In the proactive state of things, it would be, visual signs of curling, buckling, clawing, which is a reverse of the curl, going down.
Right.
Granules coming out of the eaves troughs.
Right.
And just absolutely a visual look if it's not sitting as flat as it should be. And then in the reactive state, obviously, ceilings are caving in, it's long gone since then.
Well, and one of the things that I really push in every inspection, we talked about it many, many times on the show, is cleaning out your eaves trough once or twice a year and water is the enemy of the houses. So you don't need to get up on that roof necessarily to be able to inspect a lot of these things. But if you are cleaning your eaves trough out once or twice a year and you notice a lot of granule in there.
Yes.
That means that those granules are now, it's losing its adhesion and that granule is starting. And that's what really protects that roof.
Absolutely. You couldn't say it better, Dave. It's the UV.
Did you bring your gold stars with you, Chris? Because that's what you're supposed to be giving me, a gold star for every good question.
Absolutely, yes. That's about it. If it starts to look like it's wearing out, definitely have a professional come and give a better aspect.
So that gravel in the eaves trough is one of your first
not
signs.
Good.
Most anybody can recognize.
Yes.
And Chris, I know driving around neighborhoods, even if it isn't real estate related, I can't help but look at homes and size them up. And I just notice how many roofs in any particular neighborhood look like they're already in the reactive state. Some of these roofs, I'm thinking if they're not leaking yet, I don't know how they're not leaking. So what would your percentage of business be of customers who are proactive versus reactive?
Unfortunately, it would be more on the reactive side of things. Are roofs leaking now and can you start tomorrow, which is usually not the case the way we do things. So there are quite a few clients that are proactive. That gives us time to set it up proper and do the project down the road. Now, in the case of reactive, we can do, let's say, an emergency repair, a tarp, anything to stop further damage,
mm-hmm.
and then set up the job to be done at a set time.
And what does a timeline look like at this time of year? What's we're into weather where you can go up on the roof. What's a typical timeline for waiting for that.
If you were to say, let's do your roof today, Dale, we would be, you know, into September as of right now. So,
Whoa.
So you don't, another reason you don't want to be reactive, you want to be proactive.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. So we're, you know, even into bookings for next spring and things like that is a great way to look at stuff. So
I'm a customer. I my roof leaks. Do I have to replace it immediately and can I do the work myself?
Great question. I would leave it up to a professional, being the roof, being, you know, as you say, one of the top five things in a home inspection. It's not something you really want to, I hate to use the word cheap, but you don't want to cheap out on a roof system. And it protects the absolute most important thing we own, which is our homes.
And architecturally wise, you talk about, in Dale's world, you talk about curb appeal and street presence, and there's an awful lot of lineage and lines and architectural, and depending on the home, sometimes the roof is really a big part of that curb
appeal. It's a huge facelift,
and if it's not done, if it's not done well and it's not done straight and level and plumb and all of those things from the ground, it can certainly have a negative effect on the home and the curb appeal of that home.
Absolutely, yeah. There's the technical side and then there's the visual side, so it definitely helps. An old roof to a new roof in the selling aspect, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly does, Chris. And how about somebody getting a roof replaced and they have to decide, am I going to get a 20-year shingle or a 25-year or a 30-year shingle? I see sometimes, and I don't know, I haven't been shopping for shingles recently, but you see these year points. And how long will a 25-year roof shingle last?
Well, being in the field ourselves, we go out and inspect roofs. As Dave and I were talking earlier, the south side, which is the sun side, is going to last less than the north side, the shadier sides. And I'm going to say on average, the old 25-year shingle is lasting anywhere from 10 The longest I see out there is about 18 years in that range. I'd say the average is 14.
Yeah, I got challenged yesterday. Shouldn't have said yesterday, but I got challenged recently.
Oh, boy.
I think it was more out of frankly, shock when I said that the roof would be only had about a 15-year life cycle. And I was challenged on that. I said, it's more like 20 years. And I said, well, I don't see many 20-year-old roofs that are still protecting that home.
That's the, you know, they went to the organic base mat. They tried recycled fibers and anything they could stuff in there to fill the shingles at that time. That's of the years past. The newer style, it's an architectural shingle, complete fiberglass base mat, and they figured 25 to 30 years minimum life on those.
And are they calling them a 25 or 35-year shingle?
They designate it as a lifetime shingle. And then also they have a 50-year warranty on their shingles as well. The manufacturer we were affiliated with is GAF.
Mm-hmm. So if you... It may look at being biased because of the business that you're in. I don't feel it is necessarily, because I think these are real issues. But if a person can't really do a roof themselves, or it's too complicated, and a lot of roofs are very complicated with the amount of dormers, et cetera, that are on there. But what can a homeowner do, say, once or twice a year, just to get, if they want to be proactive, what would your advice be on what they should do to inspect their roof, even if they're not going to repair it themselves?
You know, maybe in a high wind area, something that's really battling the elements all the time, have a look, you know, quite a few times a year. And as you said, the eaves trough is a huge, huge thing to look after. Something simple, just get it clean, get that water running down and off and away from the house. And, just have a look at it.
And a couple of things that I see on a regular basis, and I hate to see it when I do, is when there's a two roofs, there were the two different levels of roof where the eaves trough is actually flowing off of the entire one roof, and then it drops down with just an elbow and then cascades down another roof.
That's a great way to put it.
Oh, and it just destroys that roof for the sake of a 10-foot piece of trough. And I've seen it done, not a lot, but I've seen it done very effectively, where they actually bring that trough and lay it across the surface of the roof. And I actually saw one recently where they actually elbowed it into the eaves trough, so it actually directionalized it. Big fan of that. But also, if you are if you have a wood burning appliance and you don't have a spark arrestor, even if you do have a spark arrestor on your chimney cap, I see a lot of accelerated deterioration around that chimney. So if you are burning wood, that is an area you really want to pay attention to. In my experience, you'll see where literally that roof has got, you know, spark marks where wood sparks have actually landed on that roof.
Absolutely.
It has its own series of nightmarish
scenarios. These satellite towers we find as well, there's an aluminum coating that'll hit the shingles and deteriorate it. You'll see half that roof is fine, and then as soon as where that tower is, it's just, it destroys it. So
what's a new roof? What's a new roof cost? Can you give me just a ballpark?
We base our pricing. You know, it's a full package. We incorporate square footage. The level of accessibility is a huge part. If there's lots of labor involved, you have to incorporate that in the cost. We base it on a square footage pricing, and then what the homeowner wants. Do they want the 50-year warranty? Do they want the standard warranty? And things like that. That's where I get the info we need to produce the estimate for them.
And Chris, part of that, I mean, you're talking about the actual shingles, you're talking about the labor, maybe the product you put underneath the shingles as well?
Absolutely,
That
yes.
can vary?
Yes, there's different levels of underlayment, ice and water shield. If there's a few valleys that meet together, that's a definite collection area. So we go up to an upgraded ice and water shield. And then always we cover the entire roof deck with some form of underlayment, whether it be a standard underlayment, a breathable underlayment. And with that, the costs do change.
So. Sure. Yeah. And when you're talking about, say, two roof pitches meeting in a valley.
Yes, sir.
Now, I think back, you know, years, decades ago maybe, I would always see some sort of metal
flashing
there, and it would be visible. Nowadays, quite often, you actually see the shingles meeting together, and so it's very difficult. I'm just curious, what's the standard practice? What should we be finding in that valley, and what could we be finding in that valley?
Well, the way we look at it is, if it was our home, we'd want it done the proper way. We do an ice and water shield barrier underneath, then we do the metal flashing on top of that, and then bring the shingles in so it's an open valley. Now, as Dave was saying earlier about that eaves trough dropping on and cascading down, that's what you get in the other way, the closed valleys. That's going to erode those valleys quite ahead of time compared to having a steel flashing in there.
So still the way I saw years and years ago,
yes,
that was on every roof, it's still the best way to go.
Absolutely, in our mind, yes.
And sometimes those valleys aren't even metal, are they?
The older ones we run into, it was a 90-pound, just a layer of shingle, just
right.
A rolled layer. You know, they try and save money here and there.
Mm-hmm.
We do things a little different, maybe call it a premium roof style. And we do things the way we would want it done on our own home. So Tom, Mr. Moffitt, with, you know, 30 years experience in the roofing, and I'm sure he's seen a few different ways. And that's the way we do it these days.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's time for us to take a small break. When we come back, we'll continue to talk with Chris Garrett from Moffitt Brothers Roofing, and we're going to discuss the choices that are now becoming popular for roofing on residential homes.
We're all volunteers here at Northumberland 89.7. Interested in getting involved? We have positions on air and behind the scenes. Send us an email, info@northumberland897.ca.
That does not sound good.
I know. And who are you?
I'm the Midas Touch, and I think you need me.
It's that bad?
Not for long. Head to Midas for a comprehensive brake system evaluation, and if needed, we can install brake pads and shoes that come with a lifetime guarantee. How's that sound?
Like sound advice?
Nice one.
Visit Midas at 6 Strathy Road in Cobourg for great customer service from licensed Midas mechanics. For details, give them a call at 905-372-1959.
Trust the Midas Touch.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. And our guest this morning here live in the studio is Chris Garrett from Moffitt Brothers Roofing right here in Northumberland County.
So just to finish up with our general questions in regards to roofing, and there's a lot of variables as far as getting pricing, so it's not as cut and dried as just getting a square foot price. But when you do actually have to deal with the reality of getting a roof replaced, and in my experience as a home inspector, I often get the question, how many more years can I get out of this roof? That's a tough question. I thought you would come here and you would give me the answer. You're not going to give me the answer, but that's fine. We'll forgive you. We're going to let you stay to the end of the show anyway.
It's a very tough question.
But I always answer when I ask the question, how many years can I get? I always answer, are you a gambler? Because it's a big gamble. It's not just about the cost of the roof. It could very well be about the added cost of the damaged finished materials within the living space. This could often double or triple the cost of the re-roofing job itself or the problem itself, considering the insulation in the house, the drywall, all of the interior aspects, the possibility of mold growing in there because of the added moisture into that attic space. So the answer of it's, are you a gambler because it's a big one, is that a fair answer?
I haven't heard it said better, Dave. I get asked that all the time. And, you know, really, what do you say? You say what you think you could get out of it.
Yeah.
But what happens if I say you get 2 years and then this winter the entire ceiling caves in? How does that make me feel? So putting it that way is truly the best way to look at it.
Okay. So what I am seeing out there in the world is there's a lot more metal roofing. Which for the longest time was really a commercial application or in commercial buildings, but we're seeing it a whole lot more on residential homes. And over the past, I'm not sure how many years, but it's really grown in popularity for residential homes, and not just as an alternative, but as a long life superior, I'm assuming, and you can clarify that since you're the expert on that, but superior and architecturally pleasing replacement for traditional asphalt roofs. Can you tell us a little bit about metal roofing for the... for the residential home, Chris?
Yes, as you said, it's becoming almost day to day. I'm getting asked, well, when you price the shingles, can you put a price on for steel as well? And the price of the manufacturing is coming down. The guys are getting more skilled putting it on, which is helping with the labor cost. And all of a sudden, now you can. Apply it to a residential roof.
And some of them are really beautiful. I mean, talk about curb appeal, Dale. I think they look amazing. Sometimes they can look amazing.
Yeah, because it seems like it's more than just sheet roofing right now, Chris. I'm seeing preformed shingled metal roofing as well.
Yes, there's a few options. I hate to call it a barn steel, which is the panels, you know, your standard exposed fastener system. Then they've got the steel shingles that are put on very similar to a shingle itself. And then also, as you said, the standing seam, something that we form at our office a lot of times right on site. And it really is a traditional look. It's all hidden fastener. And it's as you said, it's absolutely beautiful.
So who is your traditional metal roofing customer, and why do they choose metal roofing over traditional asphalt shingles?
A lot of them get tired of having to replace the shingles.
So these are kind of your forever home type of customer?
That's right. It is a lot of, Moffitt has done quite a few installs on old stone homes.
Right.
And as you said, it's not so much in the suburbs. They have done that. And
yeah, you'll see them dotted down the street sometimes. And that could very well be someone who's decided it is their forever home. So
yes. And as you're investing in your own home, so the return on investment, I don't know if that really stands true, Dale, or if someone was to say this metal roof, is that house worth more? Or
you know what, and it's a bit of a shame when it comes to what Dave calls in a home inspection the big five, the most important structural components of a home. They're not always given the same dollar value from a buyer.
There's no emotion attached to
them. Yeah, right. As a shiny hardwood floor, as a granite or or different material countertop.
As a roof.
We do like the flashy things. Now, that's not the case for every home buyer. You know, there will be some buyers that will think a little bit more long term and appreciate the components that actually save the home and keep the home's value, you know, good for a long time. One of the things I'm thinking about, Chris, as you talk about, and Dave, as you talk about the longevity of these metal roofs, Chris, you were mentioning earlier about the shingles now, the traditional shingles that we've seen everywhere, having such a large fiberglass component into them. And now I think you were saying maybe expect 25, 30 years out of the new technology shingle. How would that compare to the metal roofing?
You're probably going to get a standard warranty on the paint finish of 40 to 50 years on the steel. And a lot of times we hear it's probably going to outlast the building itself. As long as there's, you know, due maintenance done here and there. And if you do look at it in that terms, if you start to add up two or three roofs of shingles, then the numbers start to make sense.
So let's talk a little bit about the numbers there. So how would the material and labor costs compare to, say, a traditional asphalt material?
Right. So as we said, there's a few different styles, a few different applications. So if we were to say the lower end, again, I hate to knock the barn steel, but the lower end of the steel would be roughly double the price.
Okay.
Then you get into your steel tile, you know, components. Now you're at maybe triple in that range.
But this is a discerning customer that you know, they may have got the best quality vanities and the best quality flooring and the best quality appliances in their home. So
they're not afraid to look at the best.
They're not afraid to. They see the benefit of that.
Absolutely, yes.
So there's a lot of advantages to metal roofing. Are there disadvantages to consider in regards to the metal roof choice over in their next replacement?
You do have a bit of, let's say, it's hard to access at times.
Right. I can't walk. As a home inspector, and I have to clarify this, anytime there's a metal roof, I can't really walk a metal roof when I'm doing an inspection.
Really?
I'm not to understand why. Because of the damages that could be, certainly
very,
the
very
safety
slippery.
Issues of it.
Yes,
and it is one of those things that, you know, is really beyond in many cases, the qualifications of many home inspectors as far as being able to properly assess the condition of that roof or any issues on that roof.
Right.
So we're not to walk them because of the damage that can happen and then because the fact they are very, very treacherous or can be very treacherous to walk on.
Yes. Just other than a maintenance thing, you probably wouldn't have much to worry about with the steel aspect.
One of the things I am aware of is the ice and snow buildup, and I do see it a lot, and I like to point it out as a positive when I do an inspection, and that is I don't know what the proper term is for them. I see them in many different shapes and sizes, but
yes.
I call them ice breakers, and that is one of the things that I'm aware of with when it comes to ice and snow on a metal roof is the speed at which it can come off a roof once it does heat up, and sometimes the damages it can do to the eavesdrop, because the eavesdrop really comes off at right angles to the roof, and sometimes, depending on the way the roof was applied, you can actually see a shear where it has actually sheared the eavesdrop right off the house when that ice comes off, if there is no breakers. So the breakers, basically, they can either break up the ice and snow, or they can veer it, or even hold it back. Is that the design of these breakers? So this is really a straight across perpendicular bar that goes across, usually over the openings at the front entrance
and
stuff.
That's exactly it. We refer to it as a snow stop. It helps the avalanche aspect and protects the pedestrians below.
It can be really treacherous.
Absolutely. It sits there, and then all of a sudden it just lets go. So.
And you have to think of your car, your landscaping, certainly pedestrians, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there are reasons to think about that, because it's quite often ice on the bottom with snow on the top.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, Chris, a question. You're re-roofing your own home.
Yes.
And you're picking the materials for your own house. What would you pick?
From a style aspect, I would absolutely go with the standing seam metal. Coming off the installation crew of doing it to, mm-hmm. as well, it's just a fabulous product there. In certain cases, there is a good spot to put a shingle roof onto. So if it's very complicated, a lot of dormers, a lot of valleys and things like that, I would tend to go with a shingle roof there.
A little easier to work with.
It's just so complicated to keep the water out if there's many dormers, and to start putting steel panels and tiles, and it just, you're asking for trouble in that sense.
And a big labor cost, I would imagine.
Yes, for sure.
Now, I know Dale's going to challenge me a little bit on this, but I have to trust the internet for some things, Dale. But this is just one report. This is just one report. But they talk about resale, and some reports show that a metal roof can improve the resale value of a home by 1-6%, and that a homeowner can recoup 50-75% of the cost of that roof, which is exceptional return on investment. This is something that I really think that it depends a lot on the home. And like I say, so often the home is designed where the roof is a key part of the architectural aspect of that home, and the look of the home, where the dormers and the roof itself has such presence. I think that's probably where you're going to see that aspect of it. And if, you know, you, depending on the value of the home, we talked about homes earlier in the spring where we talked about houses worth $900,000 or $1 million in Northumberland County. Mm-hmm. I think that's where you're going to see, you know, where almost the expectation is that high-end roof, as well as high-end windows and high-end floors. Is that fair to say, Dale?
Well, I'm seeing metal roofs on the $250,000, $300,000 homes as well now.
Right.
So they are becoming more popular, but yes, people in the higher bracket will tend to look at a quality product like that a little bit more. They just have a little more resources to use.
Sometimes they do mix it up as well. So if you have a nice sloping veranda at the bottom, something simple, you can put the standing seam on there. And then if it is a complicated upper roof with lots of dormers, you can do a mix of shingles and steel as well.
Neat.
We talked a little bit about Offutt Brothers. So you're now offering a unique service to Northumberland County in regards to steel roofing. You folks do more than just sell and install. Can you tell us about that, this new manufacturing? You're actually manufacturing on site, is that?
Yes, we get a coil of steel. We bring it out in, you know, the vehicle on a trailer. The installer can send a measurement down to the man running the machine. And it's, if you can picture an eaves trough, it's similar to that, just an eaves trough machine running a coil, and it forms our standing seam lock to whatever panel lengths.
Right on site.
On site, yes.
Wow, that's amazing to me. Mm-hmm. Amazing to me. So that's really, I guess the right term for that is custom fabrication. I guess that's what you'd call it.
That's it. Okay. Perfect.
So our focus on Reality Realty is on building equity and protecting your most important investment. So when we come back from break, Chris Garrett from Moffitt Brothers, he's the on. I didn't show you this aspect of it, but I called you the envoy, an all around halfway decent guy. I didn't want to be buttering you up too much,
good.
But
take it easy.
A halfway decent guy from Moffitt Brothers Roofing, and he's going to give us some ideas on how to do exactly that, build equity in your home with their special services. So please, stick around.
You've been listening to Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio.
As a local business owner, would you pay to advertise your service in a shotgun approach to a broad market or to an audience that is right for your business? Would you try and promote your business into another area code where there's three others doing what you do, or into your hometown where you're known as one of a kind? Northumberland 89.7 is specific and local for the people of Northumberland County. Northumberland 89.7 is unique and original, just like your business. Give us a call at 905-372-2391 or email us at sales@northumberland897.ca.
Head to the Royal Canadian Legion this month to catch these great events.
Ladies Auxiliary Club Room Lunch is Friday, June 5th and 19th, starting at 11:30 a.m. for $6. Decoration Day service is Sunday, June 7th at Union Cemetery on Elgin Street at 2 p.m. Saturday, June 20th, Ladies Auxiliary Strawberry Tea is 1 to 3 p.m. Tickets are at the door for $4. And we'll be having a Canada Day barbecue with entertainment.
The Royal Canadian Legion Branch 133 is located at 136 Shore Street in Cobourg. Call 905-372-2231 and become a member today.
We're back on Reality Realty. For those of you just joining us, we've got Chris Garrett from Moffitt Brothers Roofing, serving Northumberland County for over 30 years. Chris, being a historical area, towns like Port Hope, Cobourg, Grafton have a lot of homes that have flat or slightly sloped roofing, and this offers challenges that a standard roof doesn't. And from a home inspection perspective, it's one of the most puzzling ones for me to inspect. There's several systems available. Let's talk a little bit about those types of flat or low slope roofing materials. Let's go with with rubber membrane or a gravel roof. This was so popular in commercial buildings and in some older buildings that we see lining the streets of our downtowns in Northumberland County. Can you give me a little bit of an idea of how that system? It's a totally different thing than what we see on most residential homes.
Yes, a lot of times you're looking at a peak roof and then you've got your flats. You know, you've got the garages a lot of times on residentials will be your built-up tar. The way we do it now is, as you said, the single-ply rubber roof. It's very, very green to the earth. There's no burning of the tar or any of that sort. It's a simple contact cement.
You're not going to get that smell?
Yeah, like the smell of napalm in the morning, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a contact cement system. It's very, very green. Quite easy to install in that sense, you know, having the proper technicians doing that. And as I said, very, very green in that sense.
Well, it's good that you answer that question right now. I'm not going to interrupt you. Well, I am going to interrupt you. But I got asked by a customer who had a rubber membrane roof on his carport yesterday in an inspection. Can I get up there and shovel that off? What was the right answer?
That's a great question. Just be careful. Obviously, you know, a rubberized or, not a great big old steel shovel, you know, gashing away the membrane. Maybe a broom would be a better idea. You know, take a top layer off and then just kind of sweep off the dust in that
sense. I suggest that he let the roof do what the roof was designed
to do. Well, that's probably the best thing to say.
Okay. Just so I know, I can finish that report now.
There you go.
Chris, these basically flat roofs that have a rubber-type membrane, are they truly flat or should they have a little slope to them still?
It is nice to actually have it slope to some kind of drain, whether it be an internal drain system or a external scupper system down out to an eaves a downpipe and then away from the building. But a lot of times you're going to find they're going to pond, they're going to have reverse effects in that sense, and it's just natural for them to sit like the water sit on them.
And is that a concern if we're looking at a home and it has a flat roof, and sometimes, like you say, it might be a garage or it might be on an addition, somebody's put it at the back, and you're in another part of the house on the second floor, you're looking out, and we haven't had rain for maybe 3 days, but there's still a little bit of ponding on that rubber roof. Is that a concern for a potential homeowner?
Other than just the visual aspect, it's just day to day. You're going to see that everywhere. It's almost impossible to have zero ponding unless there is an actual 112 slope or anything of that sort. Mm-hmm. Now the materials are made. You could lay that in a pool, a bathtub, and it's not going to leak. So they're made to have water sitting in them.
Okay.
And then on the reverse side of things, in the winter, obviously you're having water over that entire area in the form of snow for that complete season. So there's no worries about having a little bit of ponding in that sense.
One of the things that when I was preparing for the show and I was reviewing your services online, one of the things that caught my eye was a roofing system called TPO, or thermoplastic polyolefin. What makes it so special? I noticed it was white, which I noticed, and I know that heat is a big thing on the decay and deterioration of a roof, the heat, the blackness. So what makes this TPO so special?
As you see on my notes here, it literally is just the cool factor. It reflects the sun.
That's what makes me special on this show.
Well, it does, as you say, it reflects the heat. It's applied very similar to the rubber roof system, except the seams are heat welded compared to just the contacts.
And it is white.
And you definitely have to wear shades when you're installing it. Okay. And then also the the clean aspect of it as well.
Right.
And it is a good system for residential. You know, you can tie into it with either the EPDM rubber or the TPO. If you're, a lot of times they'll run that garage into a peaked roof and you're able to, you know, seamlessly incorporate the both systems together.
Well, Chris, beyond actual roofing, I noticed that Moffett Brothers offer quite a unique variety of services and products to the homeowner. Some I wouldn't have expected to have seen. I noticed that decks, you
yes.
do something with decks. I see a lot of decks. Some of these decks aren't in the greatest shape. They, you know, eventually, if you don't keep them maintained with stain or what have you, you're going to get rotting. I noticed a product there that you have. Can you tell us about that product?
Yes, it's the Durdeck system. So in traditional roofs, you would have probably a built-up, you know, tar roof underneath, and then they put the wooden deck over top of it. In this system, we, you know, take out that old roof, apply a new substrate of either a plywood or some kind of insulation if needed. And then you can apply this Durdeck, which is your actual floor. It's like a vinyl. It's applied with the contact cement as well. And then all your seams are heat welded. It's very malleable. It's slip resistant. It's a fantastic product. It's more for maybe like a 6x10 balcony, or, you know, if you do have a sprawling balcony as well, that's nice. A lot of times you'll see the portico covers or things like that, so you don't have everything hidden. And it's just a beautiful product, and as well, completely waterproof.
Right. So at a premium price, I would imagine. It sounds like it's quite a product.
It is. It's more prep work. There's an incredible amount of prep. You have to have that surface as smooth as a countertop, and then everything goes well from there.
But it's sort of a long-term fix, and you really want to try to amortize your long-term maintenance and repair on it if you don't put something permanent on there.
That's right, yes.
So one of the things I encourage in my business as a home inspector is to maintain your home going forward, and that is that you should inspect your home at least twice a year. And for some folks that obviously find heights very intimidating, or the home or the steep slope of the roof design is simply too high to do it safely. But you guys at Moffett Brothers have a service for that. Can you give us an idea of the cost to have?
The costing is usually just a minimum fee, an hourly rate to have professionals come out and have a look. There wouldn't be any obligation or anything after that. And as we said, if they are a little concerned about it, in that sense, if there is a need to estimate it, then that fee would be absolved into
the re-roofing
project.
All right. So we're looking at a couple of $100 here?
Yes, under that,
I'd say. All right. All right.
Well, Dave, it looks like it's getting close to the end of our show again.
Chris is full of content, and we have given content today,
Dave. Well, Chris has been good.
Oh, that was your microphone.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. your microphone went blank there for a second.
Well, Chris. Thanks, Chris, for joining us today, and it's been very interesting. There's a lot more to know about roofing
than
someone might think right off the top of their head. Chris, if somebody is interested in getting in touch with you to know more about their roof or what they can do in the future, what's the best way they can get in touch with you?
There is obviously the Google aspect, Moffett Brothers Roofing, and then also the home line at the office is 905-373-0071, and most likely you'll talk to lovely Brittany at the office, and then we can figure it out from there.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, for joining us this morning. Chris Garrett from Moffett Brothers Roofing right here in Northumberland County.
Well, that's another show. We're hoping you'll come back and join us again next week. Same time, same channel. If you have any questions or comments or any topic suggestions pertaining to real estate, please feel free to contact Dave by emailing dave@realityrealty.ca, or you can contact Dale by emailing dale@dalebryant.ca, or call into the radio station at 905-372-2391.
And don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant, real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage, and Dave Smith, certified home inspector with Pillar to Post Home Inspectors, next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon for Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Until next week, folks.
We're all volunteers here at Northumberland 89.7. Interested in getting involved? We have positions on air and behind the scenes. Send us an email, info at Northumberland 89.